Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Nearly all of Florida under some type of warning or watch, with Hurricane Helene set to become a major Category 3 before making landfall Thursday night along Florida's Gulf Coast. ABC's Victor Oquendo is near Big Bend and says the governor is urging residents to get out of Helene's path.
Some residents are definitely heeding the warnings. They're packing up, getting out of town. Others tell us they want to wait, get a better idea for the track before they make their decision. But the clock is ticking. Helene is on the move, and she could bring up to 15 feet of storm surge.
Vice President Kamala Harris in Pittsburgh today. Former President Trump is in Mint Hill, North Carolina, both campaigning on the economy in those swing states. President Biden appearing on ABC's talk show The View today, the first for a sitting president. He's also holding meetings on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. The U.S. urging Israel and Hezbollah to de-escalate. That as Israel's military chief signals a possible ground operation in Lebanon. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A man from Wisconsin is dead after falling from Devil's Tower in Wyoming. Authorities say 21-year-old Stuart Porter of Eau Claire was rappelling down the rock formation when he fell on Saturday. A climber with Porter was stranded and had to be rescued. Seven people have died while climbing Devil's Tower over more than 100 years of recreational climbing. The current farm bill expires on Monday. Advocates say Congress should pass funding that benefits small Wisconsin farms.
To neglect that is basically just picking winners and losers within the agricultural economy.
Chuck Anderis is with the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. He says he's also concerned about climate smart language, which may only benefit big farms. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 AM WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A nearly four-decade-old cold case has reopened after a suspect was arrested Tuesday. La Crosse, Monroe, and Vernon County officials said 60-year-old Michael Pop of Toma was taken into custody and is being held on a $1 million bail as the lone suspect in the 1985 death of Terry Dalloway. According to court documents, a DNA sample taken last year from Pop matches a sample that was collected during the 1985 autopsy. Dalloway was a 24-year-old UW La Crosse student who was found dead in Vernon County 4 days after going missing in 1985. Several area school districts will hold referendum information sessions over the next few weeks. West Salem is holding one tonight for both of its referendum questions. Toma, which held one last night, has three more lined up for October for its $177 million referendum. And La Crosse is holding weekly sessions, with its next one coming up on Monday as it lays out its $53 million elementary school consolidation plan. You can see a full list of school referendum questions on the fall ballot on the DPI's website. A potential playoff preview looms this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Milwaukee Brewers are all but locked into the third seed in next month's MLB playoffs. The NL Central champions beat Pittsburgh yesterday 7-2. Manager Pat Murphy said the Pirates got off to a good start.
Pirates hit some balls really hard today. In the first, like, four innings, they had, like, 12 hard contacts, and we had, like, two. But, you know, we grinded out at bats and got some hits when we needed to. Willie got some big hits.
The Brewers will play the Pirates again this evening. This weekend, Milwaukee takes on the New York Mets in what could be a playoff matchup. Green Bay has won two in a row with backup quarterback Malik Willis at the helm. Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain but could return this week. Kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks are making a, quote, major ownership announcement Thursday morning. Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam will be speaking. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A gorgeous, bright blue and beautiful day today with sunny skies and temperatures perfect right into those mid-70s. But the sunshine stays abundant all week long and we climb to highs in the upper 70s, which is unseasonably warm for September. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first, the Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll catch up with another state Senate candidate trying to make a difference as part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hit it. This ain't no disco.
Live from Los Angeles, California, this is the Todd Allbaugh Show.
This is L.A.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host. Live from L.A., it's Todd Allbaugh.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody, live from Los Angeles, California, with that fantastic intro with a joint work by the wonderful Terry Barr and also our own Aaron Zommers. We are here live in L.A. Zommers is back at the world headquarters high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, great work by you and Terry on that intro. I appreciate it. And because we're doing a morning show out there, it's just after 10 a.m. here on the beautiful West Coast. And I was expecting, the forecast said sunshine, but here, of course, we're starting off the morning with a little bit of a cloud. But as long as you're here, and as long as the fantastic host of Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow, is with us live from Lake Wissota, it's going to be a sunny day. Gentlemen, it is Wednesday. It is
hump day.
Look at that. The camel made the West Coast trip. Patrick, how are you?
I'm fine. I feel like maybe it's the California influence that I feel like there's a layer of smog here somewhere. Maybe it's some mental smog that's there.
Yes.
It could just be the ongoing rage that I feel. Remember last week we visited about the Dodge County Sheriff strong-arming clerks and getting them not to offer drop boxes. Now you've just got the mayor of Wausau stealing. You know, Dropbox is basically engaged in thievery at this point. And I know you've talked about that already, and we'll can't wait to see where this one leads.
Yeah, right. It's interesting times, that's for sure. But great to have you along, Mr. Sommers. How are you back in Madison today?
Doing well. The weather's nice. It's pretty sunny, but not too hot. So I am pleased with that.
Just exactly the type of weather that that you would like. Coming up later on the show at the bottom of the hour, we're looking forward to this one. Ken Broski, who is a writer, director, producer. He has a brand new film. It is a documentary called Closure. The story of the University of Wisconsin system closing down several of these two-year campuses. Of course, we've been talking about that for a long time here on this show, and he is also an assistant professor of English at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Ken Broski will be here at the bottom of the hour or just thereafter to talk about this new film. It debuted last night in the Milwaukee area and is set next week to debut in Richland Center. We're going to find out where else around the state you can catch this great new documentary film called Closure, the story of the University of Wisconsin system. Also then at 1:30, our very own Dan Schaefer, our civic media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, joining us in hour two. And Pat Kreitlow, we're going to talk a little football. That's really the main reason we came out here. It is the first road
test, I guess you would say, for the Wisconsin Badger football team, since you have now USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon, all former Pac-12 members, now joining the Big Ten. So we thought, well, we'll come out here and get a little bit of the flavor of this whole thing. Tomorrow we're going to do the show from Hermosa Beach, a Wisconsin sports bar down there. And then we'll see. I'm trying to get on the USC campus, and I'm thinking about just showing up. But we did that at Marquette, and we got kicked off. So I can't afford to get kicked off at USC, Pat.
Aaron, how suspicious is this? Would the man be traveling to New Jersey if this was a game against Rutgers? I don't see him racing to get to Nebraska.
Nebraska Cornhuskers, as Todd refers to them.
But wait, there's a game in Hollywood? Well, put me in. Right. Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
That's exactly right.
Wow, good for you. Good for you.
The cool thing is I'm staying with my friends. I'm here on their back porch, the lovely Nelson and Dahlia Baye here in one of the suburbs of L.A. And so, you know, there's no hotel costs, so I get to crash on their couch. I have already wreaked havoc, though. They're all at work, and I was left here with the cat outside, and I believe I've lost the cat.
So I'm not you may sure. not be invited back.
I may be looking for somewhere else to stay later tonight.
Here's the thing. They don't, you know, they're not dogs. They don't normally come back when you call their name. They don't want to play game. You know, cats being cat, he or she will come back when they want to come back.
Ivy is the name of the cat. I'm here, Ivy, here, Ivy. I don't know. All right, Pat. I appreciate you did. Now, did you talk about, I tweeted this out last night because I got in late last night. It was thank you to the great folks of Delta, by the way. There was mechanical issues in Madison. I got on a different flight. I ended up in Atlanta. And then literally, as the song by Vicki Lawrence and Reba McEntire, the lights went out in Georgia. And I was down in the bowels of the Atlanta airport, and everything went dark, and emergency lights came on. Mm. But we made it out here to L.A., and all of my bags arrived and the equipment, so we were able to do the show. So Delta awesome. Got it done. We appreciate that. Yeah,
good deal.
It was great. But this morning, I was not able to – I said, look, I'm not getting up at what would have been 5:30 in the morning out here to do the thing. So I apologize. But I said now maybe you could talk about this new other documentary film we've been talking about, Just a Bit Outside. Our friends Kelly Call and Sean Hannish, the director and producer respectively there, about the Milwaukee Brewers 1982. And Pat, it's coming to your neighborhood there in Eau Claire and also in Rhinelander in the northern part of Wisconsin. I'm excited about
this. You don't say.
Yes.
Oh. Well, now I got to look this up, find out where I'm going.
Starting on Friday.
It's the theater downtown. The theater downtown in Eau Claire.
In Eau Claire?
Okay. Yeah, I thought like the Budget Theater or something. Yeah. I'll get the exact name. But
it's Downtown Cinema in Eau Claire.
It's Downtown Cinema in Eau Claire. Yeah. I see it there now on their site.
And also coming up in Rhinelander as well.
At Rumon Theater.
Thank you, Mr. Zahmer. See, he's right on it. So very exciting because we've had a lot of people that said, well, look, I live in northern Wisconsin. Where can I see this? And Marcus Theaters didn't have anybody up there. And so now they've been gracious enough to say, well, let's let more people see it. And so it's going all over the state. And then tonight in New Berlin, there's a special showing. You can check marcustheaters.com to see if there's any tickets left. Jim Gantner, former Milwaukee Brewer Jim Gantner, will be in New Berlin tonight. What was it, Zahmer? 6:30, something like that?
6:25.
6:25. Thank you. We gave away tickets to that yesterday. But, Pat, I think, you know, oftentimes, as you know, sometimes northern Wisconsin gets left out of things. And I think it's really great that this film is coming to the Northwoods.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and we get into that weird little gray area of, you know, is this Brewers territory? Is this Packers territory? Because we're enough of, you know, in the exurbs of the Twin Cities that, you know, you've got some Minnesota-based sports fans here. The bar is long gone, but there used to be a place, what was it called, the halfway stop or something like that. Mm. And the bar was painted half green and gold, half purple and gold.
So really?
So that Vikings fans would, you know, stop there on their way out to Green Bay. Mm. So for folks who are Brewers and Packers fans, this is a nice gesture that, no, we haven't been forgotten up here, that our fandom is still welcome despite being in the Twin Cities media market.
Yeah. And Kelly Call is so gracious enough. He's going to join us from one of his property. He has a little side business, a little sports bar here on Hermosa Beach. So we're going to be joined by him. And he's going to talk a little bit more tomorrow about this film, just a bit outside the story of the 82 Brewers. And also get into a little bit of just, you know, a Wisconsin boy coming out here to California. He spent over 20 years as the president of CBS Entertainment. And, you know, what's that like coming from Wisconsin, a small town in Wisconsin, and ending up, you know, being the person that gives the up or down thumb to shows like Survivor or Blue Bloods or Big Brother or, you know, any other, I mean, what kind of pressure is that? When you know that you are responsible for jobs and lives and success or not, you know, how do you go about doing that? So Kelly's going to talk to us a little bit about that. And also, literally, his media handle on Twitter is Cali Badger. He is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. You will not find a bigger Badger fan. And he'll talk a little bit about being a Badger out here in Southern California.
And you said you're on Hermosa Beach?
Yes, and we thought maybe we might find Eric Covey.
Don't beat me to it. I was setting up the beach.
I'm sorry.
So I could say, we're just all going to pretend this didn't happen, folks. Hey, Todd, I'm looking just over your shoulder there, and I believe I'm seeing Eric Covey with a metal detector trying to find a few extra million for more of these commercials of his. So.
How about that, by the way? Well, let's spend a couple, because I haven't really talked to you about this, and we touched on it on our show last week, this story by Dan Bice at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that Eric Covey's bank out here in California has been essentially cooperating with this Mexican bank who is renowned for, you know, been banned by working with some people, this bank, because of their involvement with gang activity. And again, as Bice points out, technically by the book, there appears to be no broken laws yet. But again, just like Mark Robinson in North Carolina, the governor there, who's been so vehemently against LGBTQ and people's sex lives, and then ends up he's doing it himself. Here's Eric Covey, a guy who has just been vehement about, oh, are you helping, you know, undocumented folks or drug cartels and fentanyl? And it turns out his own bank is, by and large, helping some of these people do what they're doing.
Yes, but, and as I noted on the show, I might be, you know, the first person you'd expect to jump in on a story like this. Mm. And I'm not saying that I agree with it 100% or that I disagree. What I'm saying is that I have had my own exposure to banks overseas, you know, living overseas briefly, and knowing a little bit about the repatriation of American dollars. Because, you know, the American dollar is still accepted pretty much around the world. You're in any given place, Mexico included, and if somebody says, can I pay for this in dollars? You absolutely can. But at some point, those dollars have to be sent back and, you know, recirculated and cashed in for the currency of that particular place. That's what Hovde's bank says they're doing, and that there are safeguards in place that don't allow it to also be used for money laundering. So this bank still sounds shady, but this bank also sounds like it's still engaged in other traditional banking things like the repatriation of American currency. And so my response to the story was casting no aspersions on Dan Bice's story, but was something like, you know, I feel like I've got to learn more about this. That doesn't mean Hovde's bank gets off the hook. Maybe you shouldn't be dealing with a shady bank in the first place, but I'm not going to go so far as to say that they're engaged in the worst possible behavior with this shady bank. So I'm a little more shades of gray than maybe some other folks are.
I think that's super fair. I guess my point is that even if you're going to get into the gray area, for a guy who likes to be so black and white when criticizing his opponent, Tammy Baldwin, for a guy who likes to, again, you know, Donald Trump's going to be in Prairie du Chien in southwest Wisconsin, trying to make that into the new Springfield, Ohio, talking about, you know, horrific, terrible things, scaring people with people who are not white and immigrants. For a guy who revs things up and then even tangentially to be involved in that, I just find that hypocritical and disturbing. We'll come back with more Pat Kreitlow on the other side, talk about Joe Biden and Speaker Johnson. And has Pat Kreitlow ever gone down Santa Monica Boulevard? Come on back. We're live in L.A. on not far from Santa Monica Boulevard on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If everybody had a
pump tank
across the USA, then everybody'd be served.
Welcome back to the Tallball Show, live on location in beautiful Los Angeles, California. A little overcast here, but they expect it to be sunny later on today. Welcome back to the show on Civic Media. Pat Kreitlow, the host of Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8, joins us here live from beautiful Lake Wissota. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, Ken Broski, writer, director, producer of a brand new documentary film called Closure. A great story, and well, that's a great story, but great to reporting here of the closures of many of the two-year schools around the University of Wisconsin system. He is also an assistant professor of English at University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. And then in hour two, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. But right now, Patrick, want to get to a couple of things in the news here, get your take on it. First of all, Joe Biden made his final appearance at the United Nations yesterday, at least as the sitting president of the United States, and he gave what I thought was a poignant speech. I want to play a cut of this and get your reaction to it. Here is President Biden yesterday at the United Nations.
I made the preservation of democracy the central cause of my presidency. This summer, I faced a decision whether to seek a second term as president. It was a difficult decision. Being president has been the honor of my life. There's so much more I want to get done. As much as I love the job, I love my country more. I decided after 50 years of public service, it's time for a new generation of leadership to take my nation forward. My fellow leaders, let us never forget, some things are more important than staying in power. It's your people.
President of the United States Joe Biden yesterday at the United Nations. Pat Kreitlow.
I think that was very magnanimous of him. It was selfless. It was also, look, go ahead and accuse me of reading too much into it, but I feel like I can still hear the pain in his voice that, you know, if he had his druthers, he would continue, that he thinks he's, you know, well, he is obviously doing very well, but that, you know, from an age standpoint, a lot of folks don't see it that way. I'm reminded as well that, look, a lot of folks, especially in public service like this, but other fields as well, timing just doesn't work sometimes. Yeah. And even though Joe Biden was like the youngest possible senator when he first came on board, the timing for getting into and winning a presidential election, the stars just didn't align for him until 2020, Well, he was the right man at the right time, and he did, you know, the things that America needed him to do for that one term. But, yeah, like he said, you want to keep going on, but, you know, time remains undefeated, as we like to say.
And I also thought that maybe just because it was the setting with all of these world leaders or representatives of different countries, to stand before all these folks and say that there is something more important than power, and it's your people. I thought maybe that was pointed towards other people around the world to say, you know what, we've been called upon to set the example militarily. We've been called upon to set the example humanitarily, economically. I'm trying to set the example for democracy around the world and say, as hard as it is, it ain't about one person. It's about the people you should represent.
Without a doubt, because you see the danger, perhaps, of, you know, the opposition winning. And we all like to think, well, if we can just stay in control, stay in power, everything will be fine. Well, sometimes it's not you that has to continue on, but it's your values that have to continue on. And that's what President Biden is doing, is saying, I want my values to continue on in Kamala Harris rather than me. And if that does anything to nudge some leaders in some places, you know, Hungary or the Philippines or, you know, all kinds of other places to resist the temptation to undermine democracy, well, then he's done the world a public service.
I want to get another quick clip from yesterday. House Speaker Mike Johnson out in D.C. qualifying whether or not that he would accept the results of the election coming up here in a couple of months. Mr. Zomers, here is Speaker Johnson in D.C. yesterday.
Mr. Speaker, do you commit to observing regular order in the certification process of the 2024 election, even if Kamala Harris beats Donald Trump?
Well, of course, if we have a free, fair, and safe election, we're going to follow the Constitution. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
If
we have...
Boy,
if,
the word if is doing a lot of work there. If.
I get it. Just it reiterates to me, Pat, the importance of not just these presidential elections, but congressional elections, particularly in the 3rd District. Rebecca Cook, the Democrat, taking on Derek Van Orten, Republican, and Kristen Lierley, the Democrat, taking on Tony Weed over in the 8th. Those two races, and also Peter Barker taking on Style down south in the 1st District. Those races matter, Pat, because who controls Congress on January 6th is going to matter.
Without a doubt. Because remember, when Speaker Mike Johnson says if, that's not the two-letter word you should be thinking of. The two-letter word is no. He's asked, would you honor the results? He is saying no. That if there's some opportunity for him to undermine a Kamala Harris victory, much like he did in 2020, he would be open to the possibilities of attempting to undermine an American election. And so if you think our democracy is still worth something and not handing Congress over and a presidential election over to people who have cheated and are telling you right there with the word if that they will cheat again, well, you don't just take it out in the presidential election, but also in your local congressional election, and not allow somebody like a Derek Van Orden or a Tony Weed or a Brian Stile to go along with motions to object to the certification of votes from Wisconsin. That's something Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald were prepared to do. They were prepared to support that motion and try to undermine all the voters of Wisconsin. And they would do it again. Why give them even more people to undermine our democracy with?
Yeah, could not agree more. Normally, of course, Trygve Olson joins us in this half hour. He's taking a well-deserved Wednesday off because he helped us out for 90 minutes yesterday. He did a great job. So many thanks to Trygve Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, for doing a great job guest hosting yesterday along with
Sommers. I thought he was writing a new batch of old age jokes to use on me.
He probably is. That's probably part of what's going on.
Hey, did you see this advisory that Gwen Walls is coming to suburban Milwaukee tomorrow?
Yes.
And here's the headline. Walls goes, wow. Because she's not coming to Milwaukee. She's going to the wow counties.
I like that headline.
She's making appearances in Grafton and Waukesha. That's smart. That's smart politics.
Super, right, super smart. So you got Walls going over to the wild counties. You've got Trump going to Perdesheen. Once again, Pat, it's going to come down to the state of Wisconsin.
It is. Of course it is. And I mentioned on the show this morning that Trump is and the Republicans are wise to look at Dane County, much like Democrats look at Waukesha County. They're overwhelmingly red or blue, but there's still a number of voters in there. So expect to see more of it.
Pat Kretlow every morning, Up North News, 6 to 8. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Stay tuned. Ken Broski is next right here on the All Ball Show, live from Los Angeles, California, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We are beginning harvest here in the U.S. In South America, they are starting their first crop planting. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, tells us what we should pay attention to during the South American planting season.
They're about 26% on their first crop corn, which is more used in the industrial side or in the usage side in Brazil, doesn't really hit the export market. Obviously, the big focus is the soybean planting. They're about basically just under a percentage point done. Normally, they're about 1.9% done, but we're watching the weather very closely. They've been extremely hot, extremely dry, but it looks like as we're turning the page in October, as we seasonally see down there, some of the rains are starting to return, and Brazilian farmers don't plant until they get the rain first. Otherwise, the seed will just stay in the ground and not germinate. So unlike here, we want to dry it in the spring so we can plant. There, they'd like to see some moisture.
John Heinberg says we're going to want to keep an eye on the weather in South America to see how it'll influence our markets here in the U.S. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and your midday markets are coming up right after this.
They are my go-to for my tailgate. Yep. Bavaria sausage, that's what I'm talking about. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, check out their website, BavariaSausage.com, for all the flavor selections you can feature at your tailgate. They are going through an upgrade on that website, so keep checking back often. You can also find out more on their Facebook page. If you're in the Madison area, check out their retail location at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. That's where you'll find my Berkey Brats, one of my favorites. And remember, their store hours have expanded Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturdays, 9 until 1. Don't miss an opportunity with the weather that we've been given. Get out there and tailgate and enjoy it with your neighbors and impress them with the flavors that you select. Bavaria Sausage will get you on your way. Again, check back often because their website's going through updates, BavariaSausage.com or the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, and you tell them the Farm Babe sent you.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can find it on our website at thefarmwi.com or on your app store. Now let's take a look at the markets from Chicago. Corn started down this morning a couple 3 cents, but it looks like it's trying to trend back upwards as it's at 412 and a half, up 3/4. The soybeans are still showing strength as the November contracts are at 1048, up 5 3/4. December wheat contracts are also showing some strength at 582 and a quarter, up 4 1/4. Milk contracts are moving back up as October Class 3 milk contracts are at 23.41 hundredweight, up 13 cents, and the November contracts are up 15 cents at 22.81 hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A gorgeous, bright, blue, and beautiful day today with sunny skies and temperatures perfect right into those mid-70s. But the sunshine stays abundant all week long, and we climb to highs in the upper 70s, which is unseasonably warm for September. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild in studio. President Biden addresses the UN General Assembly and Nebraska playing games with the Electoral College. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live in Los Angeles, California for the rest of this week. Right now, coming to you from Santa Fe Springs, just outside of Los Angeles proper. Tomorrow, we'll be at Hermosa Beach talking to Kelly Call, former president of CBS and a filmmaker himself. There's a documentary called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers. But right now, we are honored and pleased to be joined by another filmmaker. He is Ken Broski. He is a writer, director, producer of the new documentary film called Closure, the story of the University of Wisconsin system closing so many of these two-year campuses. He is also an assistant professor of English at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Professor Broski, thanks so much for taking time, and congratulations on this new important film.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. So tell us a little bit about yourself. We always like that with a new guest. Where did you kind of grow up, and how did you kind of get into this passion of filmmaking, particularly with an important documentary like this?
I grew up in Milwaukee, and I got my first teaching gig was with a technical college in Madison. And one day I was offered an opportunity to teach one class at the UW-Richland campus about, I think, 11 years ago. And I ended up spending a year there. I really loved the campus, and I really loved my colleagues there. And I ended up moving over to the Rock County campus in Janesville when another position opened. And so when I got the news this past May that the UW Waukesha campus was going to be closing, I felt like we needed to do some sort of look at what's happening, because at that point that was so shocking to me, that you would close a campus that has 600 students enrolled. And I just felt like we needed some answers on how this was going to affect communities and students and teachers and staff.
Well, I think you bring up such a great point. And of course, people, longtime listeners of this show, we started this show in November of 2022, and it was right after that initial announcement by UW System President Jay Rothman that for all intent and purposes, he was closing that two-year campus. And we went out there and did a show, and it kind of kept going after that. And initially, what we were told at the Richland campus is, well, it was due to enrollment, low enrollment. And I don't want to get into that as far as my opinion right now. I've said it on this show. I'm more interested in what you found. And, I mean, do you consider yourself a journalist, per se, or is it more a storyteller and a filmmaker? But what in your work, what have you found with this narrative of, well, it's low enrollment? In Waukesha's case, I mean, that doesn't hold water, does it?
No, I think the problem started when $360 million was cut from the UW system budget. And that started in about 2012. And what that did for the UW colleges, I don't think a lot of people realize this, like the UW colleges, they had two sources of revenue, tuition and state funding. So you cut 20% of the state funding, and then you have a tuition freeze. And then what happens is you have a university composed of 14 campuses across the state who then have to cut 20% of their budget. And then surprise, surprise, right after this happens, right after like these hard decisions are made, all of a sudden enrollment plummets. You know, there's nothing that explains the plummeting enrollment, Like, people like to say, oh, high school demographics and all this other stuff. But reality is none of that explains the dramatic decline in enrollment during this time. And the same thing happened after the restructuring when the 2 years were merged with the four-year universities. Again, there was this massive decline in enrollment that is not explained by other factors. You know, we're not bleeding high school students right now. There's projections down the line, but like, and it's really infuriating because it feels sometimes, and I get this from a lot of the people who are working at these campuses, it feels like all of these decisions are being made. And then afterwards, it, you know, when enrollment drops, it's almost used as it's used as an excuse to close the campuses. But those enrollment drops are the result of those bad decisions, right?
Correct. I want to give you one example at Richland and see if you found anything similar in your work at other campuses that were closed or being closed. And that is at Richland, our longtime fantastic assistant dean of students, I can't remember his exact title, but basically he was the heart and soul of the campus, in my opinion. Our main recruiter, John Poole, after a storied career, took a very well-deserved retirement. They never replaced him. The local campus tried to. The main campus, Platteville, said no. System said no. The local foundation, who is does a great job, they had a check in cash for $600,000 that they wanted to hire their own recruiter. And they were told no by Platteville and no by System. And I can, for the life of me, Ken, and we're talking to Ken Broski, the filmmaker of this new film called Closure, for the life of me, Ken, I can't understand why the university would say no to a private gift of $600,000 to help with recruitment and then close the campus because of numbers.
Yeah, I never found a good answer to this. And I called every single former regent. None of them would talk to me on the record. And what's especially frustrating about this is the two-year campuses relied on recruitment. You know, we went out, and we still do, the two-year campuses that are still going strong, like we go out and we recruit students who they don't self-select into a university. These are not students who are like, by and large, there are a lot of students who are just, they don't think they're college material. And we go out and we say, hey, listen, start at Richland, start at Fox City, start at Waukesha, start at Rock. And you can become college material with our small class sizes. We can, you know, we give you this attention. We go out and we recruit those students. So when the recruitment dries up and all of a sudden enrollment is plummeting, that's not a demographic problem. That's a problem that should be solved, you know, within the recruitment space, right? And so I think that probably happened at Waukesha. I haven't gotten a lot of people to talk to me on the record at Waukesha because everybody's job is in flux. Right. Mark Mone just basically fired every single professor there over the summer, which is in the documentary. But I get the sense that if the university makes an effort to understand the two-year college, it can be very successful. But it needs to be, you need to understand who you're reaching out to in terms of the population.
And you're still a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, correct?
Yes, I teach on the Rock County campus.
So I have to ask, I think people might be curious, after doing this film, which, we have yet to see it. It's going to be at Richland Center at the Center Cinema on Wednesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m., amongst other places. But is there any trepidation on your part as a faculty member that, well, hey, I mean, this might put my own job at risk?
Well, I feel really good about, you know, where the Rock County campus is. We've had a lot of great support from Whitewater. We've seen our enrollment grow because we've had that support. And the universities of Wisconsin embraces freedom of speech as a right. And so I'm not criticizing. All I'm doing is I'm trying to look for us, the opportunities for us to look back and learn from the mistakes that are happening, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a valid critique. Like, one of the things that's been driving me crazy about all of this is no one is doing any retrospective thinking about what we could have done better. You know, when the Richland campus closed in 2023, that should have been a red flag for every other university in our system to look and see what they've been doing with the two-year campuses so that those mistakes would not be replicated, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we knew for a fact, we knew for a fact that that kind of enrollment does not happen, that, that plummeting enrollment does not happen in one year because of high school demographics. And if we're not going to engage with the past, if we're not going to like actually think about what mistakes we've made, we're just going to repeat those mistakes. And it seems like it's still happening, which really concerns me because I have a fundamental love for the two-year campuses. I don't think that they can be replaced by technical colleges. I think what they do is different. And so what matters to me most is, you know, are we going to do something better in the future? Are we going to learn from the past so that we can retain as much as possible in terms of these campuses?
Talking to Ken Broski, writer, director, producer of this great new documentary film called Closure, the story of the UW system closing many of these two-year campuses across Wisconsin, premiering in Richland Center next Wednesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. Ken, if people, is there a list or a place people could go to see the film other places?
Well, right now we're going to do, I've submitted to 15 film festivals, and we won't get any answers until about December. So what I tried to do is I tried to just have a couple of one-night showings. If people are interested in that, they can go to delavanfilms.com, and there's a list of the showings. We're going to do one next week in Richland. We're going to do one in October in Oshkosh. That'll be free. It'll be at the Time Community Theater. So we'll have a couple of opportunities, but by and large, the next step is to send it out to film festivals and try to get some coverage through that.
And the Richland Center, so the one in Oshkosh is free. Richland Center, people can just show up and buy tickets there at Center Cinema next Wednesday then?
Yep, they can come. They can show up. I'll make it real easy. I'm there, so I'm not super worried about it.
I know you showed the film last night in Milwaukee. How did that go?
It went good. There were some people crying in the audience, which... Yeah. Was actually pretty expected. People in the audience booed Scott Walker, which was, I think, pretty, I mean, you know, expected to.
Right.
So I don't know. Like, one of the things that I should really stress is I didn't go into this with, like, a specific agenda. I just went into this to ask people questions. And the story that unfolded really was one of, you know, basically like communities losing something important and not getting a lot of very good answers about why it's happening beyond sort of like this boilerplate explanation that in the future, there's going to be some enrollment issues, right? That's kind of why Waukesha is being closed right now, is in the future, there's going to be problems.
And isn't that fascinating? Again, we've had filmmaker Kelly Collins, Sean Hannish, the story of the Milwaukee Brewers at 82, and they talk about this story, what unfolded for them. They didn't really go into any preconceptions other than, hey, this might be fun. And it became a love story between a community and a team and players. And here now you're telling me, again, this is this story between a community and something that was vital to them. And in this case, it ends up being not a great ending at all for these communities. And so, again, the fact you found these stories and can bring this out, I'm just looking forward to it so much. About a couple of, 3 minutes here, 2 minutes and a half left. Anything I haven't asked you yet that you want to make sure people understand or know about this new film called Closure, your great new documentary?
There's a student I talked to. She graduated from the Fond du Lac campus, which closed. I went there and I documented the last day at Fond du Lac, not knowing what to expect. I didn't know who I was going to interview. And she sat down with me and she told me that when she graduated from college, she was told by the people in her life that she was a waste. She was a waste of life. And she went back to her high school guidance counselor and they said, go to UW Fond du Lac. You want to start. And she went to UW Fond du Lac and she met a couple of professors on her first day in her first class who basically told her that she belonged there. And this student graduated from UW Fond du Lac. She got her bachelor's degree. She has an incredible career, an incredible life. And that kind of opportunity is no longer going to be available to students in Fond du Lac. Future generations in Fond du Lac aren't going to have that opportunity. It's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, maybe the technical schools will replace UW Fond du Lac. Maybe they will, but I don't think that they're going to catch all of those students. you know? Yeah. And I think it's worth it. I think it's worth paying a couple extra dollars in taxes if we have more educational opportunities to these students.
The impact of higher education in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin idea, the borders of our university, the borders of our state. I cannot wait to see this film. It's called Closure. You can go to DelavanFilms.com, just like the city, I'm assuming, DelavanFilms.com, Closure. Ken Broski, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to try and get a virtual center next week. We'll see you there. Thanks for all your work.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Ken Broski, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll put this in our show notes as well as Amr's will, DelavanFilms.com. Come on back. We're live in Los Angeles, California, here on the road. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated. It is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police? Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it live from Los Angeles, California. It's the Todd Allball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us on a Wednesday, the 25th of September, 2025, out here covering the anticipation for the University of Wisconsin Badger football team taking on USC, the Trojans, at the Coliseum on Saturday. Game time set for 2:30. You can hear the game across the Civic Media Radio Network via the Badger Network. And, of course, you can download the Civic Media app. You're going to want to do that because we're going to give away some prizes and money and all kinds of things in hour two today via the Civic Media app. You can also listen to the game because we can stream those college games for you free of charge. And so all you have to do is download the Civic Media app, go to any of our stations that carry it, in particular, WRCE in Richland Center. Click on that, and you can hear Matt LaPay, Mark Tauscher, and the entire gang out here in Los Angeles. Kickoff time set for 2:30 Central back in Wisconsin. Mr. Zahmer is back home. I'm here in L.A. Today I'm doing the show at my friends Nelson and Dahlia's house. And I said earlier that the cat was already out. I want to make it clear. The cat was already outside on the patio. And they said, don't worry, the cat will just chill out. Well, I started setting up, and I don't know what the heck happened, but the cat took off like a bolt of lightning through a thing in the fence. I'm petrified. I've lost the cat. And here now, apparently my friend Nelson has heard this and texted in and says, I'm watching from work. No worries about Ivy the cat. He will be back when he's hungry. Well, there you go. As we all are, right? When we get hungry, we come home. So now I'm relieved. I'm relieved that I'm not. Apparently the cat does this. I don't know.
Some cats are like that.
I never really had a cat, so I don't know. Anyway, all right, thank you, Nelson. I'm glad we've cleared that up. Many thanks to our last guest there, Ken Broski, writer, director, and producer of the new documentary film, Closure. And boy, Mr. Zommers, I thought that was great.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing this movie.
Yep, you can go to DelavanFilms.com. Zommers will put it up in the show notes, DelavanFilms.com. A very, very important film, and I thought it was so interesting when he talked about when he got into this and started interviewing people and started filming people. It was that community connection. And again, very similar to what our friends Kelly and Sean found in Just a Bit Outside, the story of the Brewers, that community connection.
Absolutely, and I think this is going to be another one that'll be good to watch in theaters.
Yes. And yes, to have that shared experience.
If you can't make it to Richmond Center next week, there are going to be more showings coming up. Some of them are already planned. You can, again, check on DelavanFilms.com. But it also mentions that he's working on getting more showings put together and a way to watch it online.
There you go. Fantastic. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Kenneth in Stoughton. Kenneth, thanks for calling in. And you said, according to the notes here, you were in the inaugural class at the University of Wisconsin Center Richland in Richland Center. Boy, that was a special year. Thanks for joining us and thanks for listening.
Well, yes, that's true. I graduated from Webb High up in Leesburg in Sauk County. And I was just going to say that was still part of the state university system. They hadn't merged yet. They merged in 69. But the whole attraction was there was no way that basically I was a relatively smart farm kid. I would have not ever gone to UW-Madison. I would have probably struggled to get to Pratt during a Whitewater. That would have been a choice. And Richland Center made it possible to go and afford to go, and I transferred. You know, the expectation was you'll go there 2 years and then you'll go to Prattville for two more and graduate in four, and that was plan A. I ended up transferring to UW-Madison, graduating in four because of the merger, I think, more than anything else. But I can't believe that the kids today, I'm 35 years old, there isn't still a group of young students that want to be able to go to school that this would afford. You know, affordability, closeness, small classes, all the things that, you know, those rural small town people would give them a leg up.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, Ken. As a kid who went to, and actually a returning adult at UW Richland, it makes a difference in the accessibility, as you were saying, affordability, accessibility, but still giving quality education. And I would hope, and what are your feelings on this? As we have elections this fall, I hope that people vote in terms of thinking who's really looking out for these small communities.
I would agree 100%. I don't know what the budget of the university systems are now, but the amount of state aid and support for the schools was, you know, again, it was 50 years ago, but the, you know, the fact that you could get through, be a rural kid from Sauk County and get through with no debt by working and having a few scholarships and state aid, the tuitions were reasonable, the state aid was there to give grants and whatever else that you needed to get through. It was very, very supportive. I had two kids that graduated there in the almost 50 now, where they are going. Anyway, we were able to go through without debt as well, but that took a lot more work. And our grandson, he struggled to get through MATC in 2 years. I mean, it's just so much more expensive now than it was,
right,
you know, relative to the wages, relative to our incomes, relative to our son's income.
Yep. Kenneth, thank you so much. I really appreciate the call. Kenneth and Stoughton, I want to go quickly before we get to the top of the hour. Mark in Pur de Sac. Mark, about a minute left. It's all yours, my friend.
Yeah, thanks so much. It started in Wisconsin here with Scott Walker with his attack on education in general and higher education in particular, as well as everything else. But I mean that if we were funding these schools the way that they should, with the encouragement to getting these kids you know, access to these educational opportunities, those institutions would still be here. I mean, that part and parcel, you know, that they did not want these things to get marketed out very well. Scott Walker attacked the Wisconsin idea that education was to make for good citizens, not good little robots that Scott Walker wants to have. And
yep. Well said, Mark. Thank you so very much. Really appreciate the call. Stay tuned. Hour number two is straight ahead. Give away some gold jewelry, a chance for tickets to the Green and Gold up north, and more surprises, perhaps, from Los Angeles, right here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be discussing a piece of transformative legislation newly introduced that is going to save the middle class. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Matinee on Air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matinee on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.